Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Republican incumbent has a Democratic challenger in Iowa House District 28. Why is she running, and what's her stand on the issues? Let's go in-depth with Megan Sir from Knoxville. When this interview took place on Wednesday, Republican incumbent Greg Hartzell was facing a primary challenge from John Van Wyk of Sully. Van Wyk has since withdrawn. So, Megan, why are you running for office?
Well, Bob, I'm running for House Representative District 28 because I have the experience, the opportunity, and the time to run again. I've been at the State House again for the last couple of sessions and watched how our representative has been representing our district, and I think it's time for a change again. Within the past 2 years, he's been shown to draw lines in the sand and not be willing to work with other legislators across the aisle, even within his own party. Within the Republican Party, he's known as a Tea Party extremist and a small group of 8 to 10 members within that Tea Party extreme caucus that hasn't shown that they're willing to work even with Republicans on many different issues. I don't feel like that's the appropriate way to legislate and to get legislation accomplished on behalf of the folks in our district.
Now you're speaking about Representative Greg Hartzell from the Columbia area, and he too has a Republican challenger, John Van Wyk from Sully. So you'll be running against one of those, but it's Hartzell's record that you're focusing on today.
It is, because that's what I've been watching for the last 2 years as our current seated legislator. It's Representative Hartzell. The Republicans have fielded a second candidate against him because he doesn't work well with others. And that's clearly obvious within their party that they're looking for somebody else as well. And I felt like if I didn't run against them, we don't have an option. Whoever wins the June primary would automatically win the November election and be elected our representative.
Okay, and so you want a Democratic challenger to whoever?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the issues that you want to address today. Let's start with education. Where do you stand on education, and how do you stand in opposition to Representative Hartzell?
Well, I'm a very strong public education supporter. I do believe in school choice that families have the right to choose the school and the method that they'd like to educate their children, whether it be private school, homeschool, or public school. But the vast majority of the population are in public school. And currently, the House Republicans are refusing to fund our public schools and have gone so far as to break the laws. And when people have been questioning them about that, why are you breaking the law, the response that Hartzell gave at his legislative forum was, well, nobody's going to do anything about that. Nobody's going to challenge us on that, so we can get away with it. And I just don't feel like that's appropriate on behalf of our district at all. Public school is really important to me. I do have children within the public school system. I'm very familiar with all of the administrators throughout the entire district. I know many of the teachers and many of the families that choose public education, and that's the backbone of our community. It's also a top priority. It's supposed to be a top priority to our state, and we're seeing the rights of public schools being chipped away slowly. Right now, they're not willing to fund allowable growth for public education, but there's a $207 million bill for private school and homeschoolers. They don't want oversight in homeschooling and private schooling, but they do want the funding. And if they want the funding, there's going to have to be some regulation and oversight. So some families are saying, I can do without that funding for my homeschooled children. What I want to make sure is that we're not taking funding from the public school systems, because that is a priority to the state. That's a requirement for the state.
And what law were you referring to that you were saying that was being broken by our legislature this year?
Allowable growth needs to be set within the first 30 days after the governor's budget is released. And currently, the House Republicans have said they're not going to fund allowable growth or supplemental aid this session. They'll wait until next year and do that. And our schools can't plan. They can't draw contracts. They can't write contracts. They're not sure what their funding will be. And while Representative Hartzell may say we're spending the highest amount of money we've ever spent on public education, while that may be true, costs have increased over the years. And Iowa is actually $1,500 per pupil behind the national average. We're no longer first in education, in funding, or in our scores and results. And we really, really can change that if we have representatives that really feel strongly, again, on public education. But again, I'm a school choice fan, but public education to me is a number one top priority of the state.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Democratic challenger for Iowa House District 28, Megan Sir. And you've been working on issues related to women's health and health in general.
That's correct. Some of the listeners in the area may know me from midwifery or doula work. I am a labor and delivery assistant, which is called a doula, and have worked in that area for nearly 20 years. In my background of working as a doula and a labor and delivery assistant, I see women's reproductive health care issues that have come before the State House. And women have reached out to me saying, I don't agree with how they're dealing with women's reproduction at a state level. And many of those pieces of legislation have come directly from Representative Hartzell this past year. And women and families throughout the state, this isn't necessarily a woman's issue. Everybody has a mother, a grandmother. This is a family issue. And families throughout the state are taking notice. We had media reports saying that these are bonkers Iowa bills from this legislator. They're seeking to stifle the freedom of the families. And this is a really big concern to me because Representative Hartzell was one of 11 legislators last year to shut down the state budget and the Department of Public Health budget over women's health care and reproduction choices. I support families in the tough decisions that they sometimes have to make. I do understand that not everything is black and white. Occasionally, we do have women that need to go in for an induction past 22 weeks because of a fetal anomaly or a stillbirth. Hartzell's legislation does not allow for them to be able to access Medicaid funding if they're on Medicaid because of these situations. In fact, it requires that they call Governor Branstad's office and get permission to have an induction done if they need it paid for by the state.
Call Branstad?
Call Governor Branstad's office to get Medicaid coverage. Now, this only affected 6 women in our state last year, but these 6 women really need access to these services. And it's somewhat of a ruse because even if they are on Medicaid and need these services, if they end up at the University of Iowa, that's an Iowa hospital, and the charges are going to come back to the state of Iowa regardless. So it was more of a political point. He's also gone so far as to put in bills that say if a woman has regrets on decisions she made 10 years ago, she can sue her provider. And that essentially, he's also pushing for personhood, which would roll back Roe v. Wade. And like I said, I work on behalf of families throughout this state, and not everything is black and white. And there are true medical necessity sometimes that require these things. And I don't feel like he should come between a woman and her doctor or the family and their doctors where that's concerned. But he has been shown to be the number one legislator coming out against women's reproductive health care. I've had Republican women and Republican families come to me as well saying, I don't want these people inside of my health care decisions. These are personal decisions that I'm faced with and I'm forced to make sometimes. And so this isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. Where women's health care is concerned, it affects all demographics. It affects Republicans and Democrats. And I think that that's really telling when even Republican families and women are coming to me saying, I want you to run again because I don't like how he's messing with women's health care. It's not appropriate for our district.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Democratic challenger for Iowa House District 28, Megan Sir. Let's move to economics. What do you think that you can do to help economic growth in the area?
Well, there's been a lot of different things that have come forward in economic growth. We did do a commercial property tax rebate for our commercial property owners. There's been technical training funding and apprenticeship funding that helps fill that gap between skilled workers and the businesses that need those skilled workers. There's been a new child tax credit that's been put through this session. As far as raising the minimum wage, I would be in support of that if our businesses can handle that. Many of our local business owners, many of them already pay above minimum wage and support the families throughout this district, but our big box stores don't. And I think we can't have it both ways. We can't want people off of welfare but not be willing to raise the minimum wage. You know, something has to give there. And we have not raised the minimum wage for many years, and I would support that as far as an economic growth issue. If people have more money in their pockets, they're spending more money throughout the district and throughout their businesses, and that's helpful for everyone throughout the district. Our racetrack bill, that's an economic growth bill as far as I'm concerned. Dave Schrader did a fantastic job putting that legislation together to appropriate $2 million back to the racetrack. And that funding will come from racetrack businesses that go to the racetrack, sell their T-shirts and their wares. They have to submit their state tax money into the state, and then the state will essentially just rebate that back to the track. For Knoxville, for our community and for this entire district, that really gives a big boost as well. And I'm supportive of many of those issues. Many of our businesses here are doing quite well right now. There aren't very many of them that have come to me with major concerns. Regulation is always an issue, and we are always willing to work on excessive regulation. I know the brewery has had some regulation concerns, and the brewery has been fantastic economic growth for not only our district, but for the state as well. So as far as economic issues go, Bob, I feel like I have a really good handle on what people are asking for here and what I'm willing to help them do.
How do you see you helping the farming economy?
Our farming economy has been doing pretty well. Many of our pieces of legislation that have been going through, there's been a who can spread manure and how many hours do they need of training as far as the manure spread on farms, the early farmers programs, trying to get young farmers involved and incentives to help them obtain land to be able to farm the family farms. Stray currents, again, has been an issue for several years, and stray currents actually are stray current that comes from the electrical currents across the wires, and they affect dairy cows. So that's been a farming issue. We also have a ton of women farmers in our area, which I'm really excited about. And these women, many of them have come to me on their own and offered support throughout my last campaign as well as support for this campaign.
And you come from a farm background, don't you?
I absolutely do come from a farm background. My father is a farmer. He also is the local farm mechanic. So if it has a motor, he can fix it. He fixes tractors, overhauls combines. The winter is a very busy time for him as every local farmer brings their combines in to have an overhaul done and have maintenance done. My dad was the local go-to fix-it guy for all of the area farmers. My grandfather farmed, my great-grandfather farmed. So absolutely, we've been a farm family all of my life.
Right, and so how about other issues related, well, to farming in rural Iowa? For example, our infrastructure is crumbling. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Our infrastructure is crumbling. And last time when I ran on building bridges and not erecting fences. Part of building bridges is truly actually building bridges, building and repairing our bridges, building and repairing our roadways. There is funding that goes directly to the road tax fund, and that money needs to be appropriated to fix the roads. People are willing to step up in various different ways to be able to increase the funding as well to support our road projects that need to happen here.
It seems like you've got a pretty clear vision on how you're going to, it's still early, it seems like you have a pretty clear vision on how you're going to conduct this campaign. Sounds like you're going to speak pretty bluntly.
I think we have to. When I've been at the State House the past 2 years, people have come to me and given me their opinion on how our representation is withholding themselves at the State House. people, I think, in our district may not be aware. We get these shiny little newsletters that speak very kindly, but we don't see the outside picture. And being at the State House, I get to hear the inside scoop on what's happening. I get to see how our current representative is truly building fences, not willing to work with others, shutting down state government, going so far to even have his own groups that support him say, we don't want to deal with him anymore. And it's really unfortunate, and I feel really bad that that's something that we have to, that we have sent there unknowingly. And I think that we can do a better job of presenting our district as a district that's willing to work with other legislators in advancing Iowa. I do like to be fiscally conservative, but I like to be socially progressive. And Iowa is kind of a purple state. And so I think that even working with young Republicans in the State House, they have a different vision than what Representative Hartzell has. And I appreciate their vision and their goals and would love the opportunity to work with them and really have a lot of support from friends at the legislature. And they'd love to have us send somebody else. This session, Representative Hartzell has filed over 40 different pieces of legislation, which again is pretty extreme. That usually does not happen, but I think that's so that he can show that he's trying to work on behalf of people in our district. Many of these pieces of legislation, some of them were legislation that other legislators had been working on in the previous years, and what happened was he decided he was going to run that and stuck his name on it and went to those folks and said, now will you co-sponsor with me? I don't think that's the right way to do business. If there's an interest that I have in somebody else's piece of legislation, I'd run right over and say I want to co-sponsor that and not take it as my own. So there's some things that I would do differently. I would work differently with the legislators that are currently sitting. And that's not to say that legislators up there don't like who he is, because he is a really nice guy. But the pieces of legislation that he's introducing is very extreme. They look to be very much extreme Tea Party. And we had some folks in the district say, well, at least he's not as bad as Steve King. And I say, really, because he had a Steve King fundraiser a couple of months ago. He's got Steve King funding and backing, Mike Huckabee PAC money coming into his campaign. So we have outside state money coming into his campaign. We have right-wing extremist money coming into this district in our campaign. And I don't know that that really truly represents the entire district of House District 28.
What's next for your campaign?
Well, what's next is to continue moving forward, to continue building momentum, to continue to get buy-in. You know, my goal is to show the district that we do have a choice and that elections do really matter. If we decide not to vote in this election, we'll get the same thing we've just had. And throughout the rest of the state, people understand that some of the legislation Hartzell's been introducing is very extreme, and they take notice. So I think it's time for our district to take notice as well. And the next steps will be to continue to build the campaign. I don't have an opponent in the June primary, so we'll just continue to move forward through until November. We are going to ask for very hard support from our teachers, our administrators, families in this district that have kids in public school. Our public schools are taking a direct hit right now. And I've had some people say, well, we can't just continue to throw money at schools. It's just not working. And I would say, you know what, that's maybe not true. That's really not the case anymore. We aren't throwing wasteful money at our schools and our public education system right now. And if we, the people, don't step up and say, hey, this isn't appropriate, this isn't okay with us, we can't continue to watch our children struggle or in our schools struggle, we're going to get the same thing that we're seeing right now, where they're introducing legislation for other school choice families, but not for public education. So I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to ask for a lot of support throughout this district, and I really am going to have to bring to light what's been happening. Sunlight is said to be the best disinfectant, and Representative Hartzell ran on sanitizing government last year, so I'm just going to have to shed the sunlight and let people know that this is what's happening. And it'd be nice to also disinfect with a little breath of fresh air and a new fresh legislator as well.
Thanks to Megan Sir for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.